Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We begin today in the Gospel of Jude. It's not a gospel, it's an epistle, actually. Real quick, I want to get this out there. We're going to begin our broadcast with Daniel Seckham, who's standing online right now, but I want you to hear this. This is very, very important to launch us where we're going today. And in Jude, verse 17, we read these words. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen now, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What an admonition by the Apostle Jude to call men and women of faith everywhere throughout all ages to keep themselves in the love of God. And isn't that the contrast to what Jesus said would happen in the last days, that many would wax cold in their love? We are living in critical times. I'm going to bring another watchman onto the air all the way from Australia, Daniel Seckham. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm doing good. And is there anything going on in the news today, Daniel, or is it just kind of boredom again?
Well, you can't exactly say it's a slow news day. I mean, goodness me. I've been very busy on my Israel, Islam, and End Times website. But what's dominating the news headlines at the moment, obviously, is what's going on in the Middle East in regard. Well, there's actually two theaters that we need to keep watch on, and that's the what's going on in Syria at the moment and what's going on in Iran with the Iran deal. Trump has pulled out of the Iran deal, which was music to my ears and was another honored promise. He said throughout his campaign that he was against the Iran deal. He said it was a bad deal to begin with. The actors and the architects of the original Arendelle put together a really shoddy arrangement. And it's no surprise, since the news came out from Benjamin Netanyahu, who revealed that Iran had indeed been pursuing nuclear weapons during the whole time, which justified Trump's shooting the deal in the head, and so it should have been. So it's good news. It's great news for Israel. And I'll tell you another thing that's really interesting. It's also good news for Israel's Sunni neighbors. Saudi Arabia and Jordan are actually really reacting positively to the Iran deal. And insiders inside Iran, those who are disaffected with the Ayatollahs, are also glad that they pulled out of the Iran deal. So I think it's good news all round. It's great to see a president with, if I can say, gonads, who has got the intestinal fortitude to actually show to take a stand where Obama showed great weakness. So I think it's a really good news day as far as that's concerned. And then we also need to keep an eye on what's going on in Syria at the moment. Israel hit, I believe, was five targets with their F-15s during the night, and they have been noticing some unusual activity by the Iranians, and hence the IDF has actually issued orders for people to, bomb shelters to be open for the people to take access to. So, yeah, interesting times.
Well, absolutely, they're interesting times. I want to go back to the Iran deal just for a moment. In a simplified way, if you were to explain to the individual that's hearing about the Iran deal, could you explain it?
Well, basically, Iran was basically going to be told that they could have financial incentives as well as trade incentives in return, that they basically would not pursue nuclear weapons, that they would actually not go ahead. I think the deal was that they would not have to go ahead with certain components of creating the uranium. I'm not 100% clear on all the exact details, but it was basically Iran was basically given a green light in which they could still enrich uranium while basically with the international scrutiny off their back. The architects was Obama, John Kerry, and the other guy, I think his name was Rhodes as well, who put it all together. But it was a really bad deal from the beginning. I mean, we're talking about a regime that shout death to America. Not only do they shout it in their streets, but they shout it within their parliament. And today, how did Iran react to the news? Did they just react and throw up their hands and say, oh, well, let's move on? No. You know what they did? The lawmakers inside the Iranian parliament burnt an American flag and burnt a copy of the Iran deal and shouted death to America. So if that's not an indication of what they're really like, then I don't know what is.
Okay, so let me, and I want to just spend a few minutes doing this calmly. What Wikipedia has a general outline, it's very brief, and what they call the Iran nuclear deal framework was a preliminary framework agreement reached in 2015 between the Islamic Republic of Iran and a group of world powers known as the P5+1. And these are the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, which were United States, United Kingdom, Russia, France, and China, plus Germany and the European Union. So negotiations for a framework deal over the nuclear program of Iran took place between the foreign ministers of the countries at a series of meetings held from March 26 to April 2, 2015 in Lucerne, Switzerland. On April 2, the talks came to a conclusion and a press conference was held by Federica Mogherini, who was a high representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, and Mohammad Javad Zarif, a minister of foreign affairs to Iran, to announce that the eight parties had reached an agreement on a framework deal. And what was that deal? Well, it tells us all about the, you know, making a bomb, enriching things. There are several components to the deal, and we could talk about those in a moment. But here's my question, okay? Russia, China, the United States, you know, all these big powers came into an agreement. Iran needed to slow down. What about the people that say Iran is a sovereign nation, and as a sovereign nation, they have every right to build a nuclear program? Why should only the United States have a nuclear program? Why should only Israel have a nuclear program? Why should only, you know, Russia or Pakistan? Why shouldn't Iran, as a sovereign nation, have a right to defend themselves and build a bomb? Is it just because we're hearing their rhetoric? Or is it because they're the only people in the world that don't want Israel? That's a totally Islamic reality around the world. So what are your thoughts to that? Just curious.
Well, you're not exactly comparing apples with apples. I mean, Iran is a state sponsor of terrorism. I mean, they have killed many Americans. They've killed American servicemen and women. They've got, they have basically, they have been behind terrorist attacks all over the world. And not only that, but they've also been sending missile components as well as missiles into the Gaza Strip to Hamas, in helping them in their fight against Israel. A lot of the armaments that Hamas received that they fought in Operation Protective Edge came directly from Iran. So Iran also has been exchanging missile technology with North Korea. So they are very much at the heart of nefarious activity, and they have sworn, I mean, they basically have sworn to the destruction of Israel. They have done this many occasions where they will say that the days of the Zionist regime are numbered. So they have basically declared that they are fully supportive of genocide for an entire country against Israel. So this is why we're not comparing apples with apples. We're talking about a terror regime that is not only bent on genocide. What I think is extremely dangerous about Iran is that they embrace a type of apocalyptic Islam, where they believe that they can bring about the appearance of their long-awaited Messiah, which they call Al-Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. They believe they can bring about his appearance by creating a scenario of three things, and that's war, bloodshed, and chaos. War, bloodshed, and chaos. And they believe that they can create that scenario, then their Mahdi, their 12th Imam, their Messiah figure, will appear in the midst of that. So they believe that if they can create that scenario, they can bring about their so-called end times. They genuinely believe this. This is what they believe, that by pursuing nuclear weapons and creating a scenario of war, bloodshed, and chaos, that their God, that Allah, is blessing them and giving them the green light to do this. This is what a lot of people don't realize, and this is what I mean by apocalyptic Islam. Extremely dangerous, and this is why we're not comparing apples with apples. Iran is an extremely dangerous regime that needs to be dealt with in a very tough manner. And again, thank God that we have Donald J. Trump at the helm and not Hillary Clinton. I am aghast at what Hillary Clinton would have done in regard to Iran. So thank God that that Trump is sticking with his guns. He's honoring his campaign promise, and he's coming down hard on Iran.
Yeah, we're all in on that idea, and yet there is a contrariness. And Daniel, I just want to push this a little bit because it's so easy for us to just go forward with what we understand, but there's a spirit in the world today as well. There's a wind blowing that how could the United States of America, the most powerful nation on the earth, the policemen of the world who send our own evil terrorists into Iraq and bring it into chaos and dethrone its leaders and, you know, create all these issues around the world through our special ops. And, you know, we're viewed by a lot of people in the world as the terrorists because we're bombing Syria now and we'll be bombed Iraq. And, you know, we have our operations around the world, making sure that our best interest is in view. We have nuclear weapons. We dropped two major atomic bombs. But we're such a hypocritical nation, murdering our own kids. We're perverting every law of God that is known even to nature. You know, what gives America the right to be the policeman of the world, and especially against sovereign nations that want to build? And I know from our Americanized perspective or our Western perspective, you know, they're the bad guys, we're the good guys. But you wonder, is there propaganda behind all of that, or is this the genuine truth? I look at Kim Jong-un, for example, and I look at this little tiny guy who once, you know, a couple of months ago was going to knock out the lights of the whole world with an EMP, and now he's like a puppy dog. So what is it? How much propaganda? And this is what the world is saying. Your thoughts.
Well, first of all, you know, I see a lot of talk in that on social media in regard to America is the terrorist. You know, I had the laugh, Pastor Vincent. I saw on a news feed in regard to, for example, last week was basically celebrated. It was 200 years since the birth of Karl Marx. Sorry, since the death of Karl Marx. You know, and I saw a meme put up about how Marx's political philosophy is responsible for over 100 million dead, you know, from Russia to China to, you know, to Vietnam to Cambodia, you name it. But somebody said, yeah, well, how many is John Adams responsible for, the father of capitalism? I just thought, are you kidding me? I just had a good belly laugh because it's just like people are always trying to find a moral equivalent in this. And I would say this, thank God that America is the global cop at the moment. You know, America doesn't have a global, like a national doctrine of global dominance where they are exerting themselves into basically their political philosophy on other nations. China, if they had the opportunity, they would absolutely do that. They would absolutely do that. Let me just say that if America disappeared off the world scene, China would come after Taiwan and basically dominate Taiwan, implement its communist system upon Taiwan. It will do it on all the other nations in the South China Sea, pushing further south, even down to Australia. They would even put Australia under the thumb and force their communist philosophy and political system upon Australia. I can guarantee it. America doesn't have a philosophy or nationalistic doctrine of global conquest in which they enforce their political system upon other nations. America is a free country, and the nations that America defends are also free, and we're very thankful that we're free. We don't want to go into communist bondage. We are very much happy in staying free and liberated. So a lot of people don't realize that if America were to ever go down, the free world would go down. The entire free world would go down.
Right. And I've heard so many people, you know, throughout my years of studying these things, books have been written about America is Babylon. And I've heard so many people say, well, America is a system. It's representative. There's no doubt it fits the bill of the biblical Babylonian Empire. Now, if that's true, mm-hmm. how could we say that if America is representative of Babylon as the world domination, Babylon will be destroyed because of its influence and what it's projecting throughout the nations of the earth? So how does that fit into, well, America is a sovereign nation, but at the same time, it's Babylon? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a very good point. And let me just say that I never, with what I addressed earlier, I never talked about the cultural influence. As far as cultural influence is concerned, America is definitely up there as one of the chief bad guys. And they never used to be that way. American influence used to be very, very positive, used to
right.
be very, very good. Yeah, used to. But what's happened? Well, America has been corrupted. Over the past 60 years, America has slowly been corrupted. And we've gotten to the point now where they are forcing their cultural degeneracy, such as child sacrifice with abortion. They're pushing their abortion industry all over the world. They're also pushing the LGBT agenda all over the world from America. It breaks my heart, but this is what's coming out of America. You know, they were once a strong moral nation, a strong Christian nation, but all that has changed. And I think the first tipping point was when the prayer got out of the schools. When they banned the prayer from schools, that was the beginning of the rot. That was the beginning where things were going to spiral, because that was the first warning shot, because that was the devil's entire intention was to capture the schools. He could never capture the schools while prayer was in the schools. The moment prayer left, he could get a foot in the door, and that's when the poison began to spread, and look where we are now. You know, it's very, very sad. So, yeah, America has a lot to answer for its evil culture being spread across the world. So is America, well, Mystery Babylon? Well, you go, Pastor.
No. I was just coughing and excusing myself. Like Jeff Sessions, I'm recusing myself.
Well, you recuse yourself.
No, I love the conversation, and I love where this is going. And I just want to hit on something that you said a few moments ago about the Mahdi that Iran, and I remember Ahmad Ahmadinejad, he was probably one of the loudest proponents of this ideology,
yeah.
that we could create enough chaos and enough bloodshed, enough fire and bombs, and that would create the environment for the Mahdi to come, or the 12th Imam, as you said. But this is the biblical Antichrist, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. And when you look at the parallels are absolutely stunning. They're absolutely breathtaking. I mean, first of all, Islamic sources. Okay, when I say Islamic sources, I'm referring to the Quran, I'm referring to the Hadith, and I'm also referring to the Sirah. Okay, so the Quran is basically the main holy book. But then you have the Hadith, which is the traditions of Muhammad, and there's all different types of Hadith. There's an entire, it's like an entire encyclopedia. But the main authoritative ones is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. They're the main authoritative ones. And then you have the Sirah, and the Sirah is basically the biography of Muhammad. Now, when you consider all those sources, what they say is, in regard to Islamic end times, Islamic eschatology, they believe that their Messiah, Al-Mahdi, that he will reign for, I mean, just they believe that he will reign for 7 years. That is incredible, because we know that our Bible says that the Antichrist will reign for 7 years. So from the straight off the bat, I mean, that's an incredible thing. The fact that with Islamic sources believe that their Mahdi will reign for 7 years. Islamic sources believe that he will make a deal with the Jews for 7 years. And in the midst of it, he will break it. And by the way, Islamic tradition says that you cannot honor a covenant with the Jews. You cannot honor it. If you make a covenant or if you make a contract or a deal with the Jews, you have to break it. That's why during Operation Protective Edge, when the Israelis were fighting Hamas in the Gaza Strip, whenever Hamas put a ceasefire, whenever there was a ceasefire, Hamas had to break it because they can't honor a ceasefire with the Jews because it's un-Islamic if they honor it. So, and here's the incredible thing about that: this. The Bible says that he will make a covenant, that the Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years and will break it after 3.5 years. Incredible. So Islamic sources also believe that he will embark on global conquest riding a white horse. The Bible in the book of Revelation sees a white horse with a rider bent on conquest. Now, if you were to Google Mahdi, if you were to, for example, if you were to say Mahdi and translate that into Arabic and then post the Arabic into Google and then click on images, you will see all of the different caricatures of the Mahdi, and you will see him riding a white horse. It's incredible. So the next thing is that Islamic sources says that he will submit the world to Sharia law and observe the Muslim calendar. The Bible says that the prophet Daniel says that that the Antichrist will attempt to change the laws and the times. The laws and the times. It's Sharia law and the Muslim calendar. Islamic sources say that the Islamic Jesus, Al-Issa, will appear and perform miracles and accompany the Mahdi. Now, the Bible says that the false prophet will accompany the beast, the Antichrist, and deceive the nations into worshipping the beast. Islamic sources believe that the Islamic Jesus will be Jewish. This is incredible. That the Islamic Jesus will be Jewish and will win many for Allah, working miracles. The Bible says that the false prophet works miracles, even causing fire to come down from heaven in full view of men. Amazing. Islamic sources says that Al-Mahdi will establish a global caliphate, a global Islamic reign called the caliphate. The Bible says that Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years. Now, that is a polar opposite. This is like a mirror opposite of what Jesus will do. Whereas Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years, called the millennial reign, the Mahdi will establish a global Islamic reign called the caliphate. Islamic sources says that the principal form of execution will be beheading. This is what Islamic sources say. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says, "And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded," in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Islamic sources say that he will establish his headquarters, guess where? Jerusalem, and rule from the Temple Mount. The Bible says that the Antichrist will appear in Jerusalem and will set himself up in the temple. Islamic sources says that he will lead a conquest to persecute Jews and Christians. The Bible says he will persecute Jews and Christians all over the world. This is what we see in Revelation 12. Islamic sources says that he will crush the defenses of Israel and slaughter the Jews. The Bible says that he will invade the Holy Land and kill the inhabitants and take them captive. This is what we see in Zechariah 13 and 14. In Zechariah 13, it says that 2/3 in the land will be cut off. The Islamic sources say a false Jesus will appear called the Dajjal or Al-Dajjal. The Al-Mahdi will kill him, Islamic sources say. But the Bible says that the true Jesus will appear and kill the Antichrist. Stunning comparisons, isn't it, Pastor Vincent?
They're absolutely amazing, and I think what I find even more amazing is that while you're talking about the headquarters being shifted into Jerusalem, that right now we're days away from a movement where the embassy, the U.S. embassy, is going into Jerusalem. And let me ask you this. I know that there are many who believe, many scholars believe, that Iran is going to take the lead on the next caliphate in the Middle East. And so if there is a war brewing right now, somewhere along the line, Iran has to become extremely powerful, if that's true, to lead the Islamic world into war against Israel and against their enemies. And so, you know, this is just a fascinating time right now, would you say?
Well, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I think there are a number of different things that we need to watch for. One of the things that could be on the horizon is a showdown between Turkey and Iran, with Iran being the ram and Turkey representing the goat, with what we see in Daniel 8. So that could definitely be a scenario that we would need to watch out for. Another thing I would say is the Sunnis and the Shiites have been at each other's throats for centuries. But if there's anything that can unite the two of them together, it's this, and that's their common hatred of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything that could unite the Muslim world, it would be a united attack on Israel. However, we're not seeing that really at the moment yet. I mean, Iran would probably try to, I think it actually sees in attacking Israel as a way in which it can actually unite the Muslim world together. But at the moment, Saudi Arabia is actually cordial towards Israel. So again, I mean, they were very, very happy that Trump actually pulled out of the Iran deal. So at the moment, we're not seeing Saudi Arabia being very antagonistic or hostile towards Israel, same as Jordan. But that could change. So I guess we just need to keep watching and seeing what's happening, especially in regard to what's happening in Syria at the moment, because that could really spill over into something rather nasty. But yeah, interesting times we're living in at the moment, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we shift just a little bit. And we know that Jesus, in his end time conversation with his disciples that was to span, you know, 2,000 years and beyond if necessary, his understanding of the end times, he talked a lot about not only wars and rumors of wars, you know, which is coming from the governmental political aspect of life, but he also talked about natural disasters. And Daniel, a month and a half ago, my wife and I were invited to Hawaii. We were on the Big Island. We journeyed with Paul, Denise, and Cameron, Chandler, and Caden, and we all went to this volcano that is erupting right now. We stood there, and we said some things, and we spoke about the hot displeasure of the Lord, how the fiery wrath of God would come up from beneath the earth when sin became predominant and idolatry and worship of idols began to take place. And you know, we were just kind of joking around, if you will. But here we are now, a month and a half later, we're watching this massive volcanic reality take place. And they're saying it's not normal. I mean, it's normal for volcanoes to be there. That's obvious when you travel the island. But it's not normal what's happening with this particular one, because there are all kinds of plumes and cracks outside of the eruption zone. And this has become a very powerful earthquake. Excuse me, a very powerful volcano eruption. And what the geologists are telling us is that there's no end in sight, which means they don't know if this thing is going to just continue to blow. And yesterday on the program, Daniel, I remembered a dream that I had around 2006 of a tsunami that would hit the United States West Coast that would be triggered in the Hawaii area. And again, we're seeing these massive natural disasters. And you get into 6.9, 7.0 earthquakes in that area, that has the potential to create tsunami waves that would come into the West Coast of the United States of America. And again, these are all the signs of the times. I mean, you're talking about Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, the Mahdi, the Quran, all these different Islamic realities that are so intrinsically biblical from the beginning of the book of Genesis. Then you're talking about communism and socialism and Karl Marx and the left and all these dominant forces in the world today, just in the political aspect, and their wars and their proxies. By the way, I have been told, and I believe it's true, CBN is a very trustworthy news outlet, that in the midst of all this stuff going on in Iran, that there are conversions where hundreds of thousands of Iranians are being converted to faith in Jesus Christ, as well as in Afghanistan and other places throughout the Middle East. Isn't that absolutely amazing that with all of this idea, that there are hundreds of thousands of Iranians that are turning to faith in Christ?
It is. And this is what's really, really encouraging. And by the way, people need to know that the Ayatollahs who are in power at the moment, the hardline Iranian regime, they are increasingly becoming in the minority. They are not reflecting the wider public opinion. The wider public opinion is becoming more and more distant away from the Iranian regime opinion, which is very, very interesting. And this is why Trump, in his address in which he announced that he was pulling out of the Iran deal, he appealed to the Iranian people. And he said, listen, your destiny is in your own hands, you know, and basically was saying to them, you know, if you can actually, you know, pull away from the Ayatollahs and you can actually have your own destiny, you know, he's saying your destiny is in your own hands. If you want, you can actually bring yourself back to the freedom that you once had before you were basically taken captive back in 1979 at the Iranian Revolution. So, however, you know, and you just mentioned that there are numerous Iranians are coming to faith. Absolutely correct. You know, I had the pleasure of actually interviewing Dr. Hormoz Shariat 2 years ago. Dr. Hormoz Shariat is actually the Billy Graham of Iran. He's known as the Billy Graham of Iran. He wins tens of thousands of Iranians to Christ. And in my interview with him, he said something very, very, very fascinating. He said this. He said, Iran is the only country in which Islam is actually on the back foot. He said, all else, in all other countries, Islam is surging forward. Islam is taking ground. Islam is growing. But he said, in Iran, Islam is actually shrinking. It's on the back foot. He said, Islam is in retreat in Iran. And I thought, isn't that fascinating? That Christianity is becoming so dominant and so strong that Islam is in full flight, in retreat. And I think all I can say to that is hallelujah.
Yeah, that's absolutely miraculous. I mean, and this is where I think caution and this is where world leaders and decisions being made and all that stuff, you know, and I applaud Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, for breaking that Obama, you know, negotiation, that deal that he was so a part of, giving $150 billion. And I did realize, excuse me again, I did realize that the $150 billion that was given to Iran was their own money. That was money that was frozen, as I understand it, and that was money that we put a sanctions on and we were holding back. So we didn't give them, you know, our money. We gave them their money that we were controlling. And so some people thought, well, you know, that's an okay thing. You know what I'm most concerned about? I just want to be real honest. What I am most concerned about right now is I know in the last days that the Bible says that the devil will deceive the whole world, and that deception will be so great that even the elect of God can be deceived. And I just have this sense in me that I don't know what – there's so much propaganda, so much trickery, so much smoke and mirrors, so much clever deception that we as Christians have to be very careful about taking a side if you will. And yet, you know, we do need to see prophecy fulfilled and understand how it is unfolding. And that's why I love talking with you, because you're laying things forth that are biblical in nature. But I just believe we need to be so cautious right now. Would you agree?
Absolutely, we need to be cautious. And this is why I always say, see, I'm very, very active in regards to politics and things like that, because I think Christians cannot afford to take themselves out of politics. You know, I mean, because here's the thing. Politics is all-consuming. It's all – there's no – you can't get away from politics. You even have politics in your family. Okay, there's politics in your church. When people complain about politics in the church, they're complaining about the bad politics in the church. You know, people are attracted to churches because of the good politics. Politics is in and through every aspect of life. There's no way you can escape politics. Okay, but there is what I would say is that there is there's got to be balance here. Because when people are completely consumed with politics in the sense where it becomes the God, and God's become secondary and politics becomes an all-consuming thing, that is a real worry. And that's where we need to be very, very, very concerned, because God has to be at the center of everything. And you need to remember that the founding fathers of the United States were the ones who had the kingdom of God first and then politics second. They had kingdom of God first. They were focused on the kingdom, focused on Christ. And then politics was a secondary thing. They were the ones who founded the United States. They were the ones who drafted the Constitution. All these great men who were passionate about God, but they were also passionate about politics. And this is what we need to have. We need to have that balance. Now, the other thing I've noticed, Vincent, is that there's like this movement within end time circles where it frowns upon those who get involved with politics. And I think that's wrong. There's this "I'm done with politics" movement. You've probably heard of it or probably seen it or got a whiff of it from different ministers around. And it's kind of like this smug virtue signaling kind of a way where, you know, where they say, you know, anyone who tries to expose the hypocrisy of the other side as carnal and wrong. Removing yourself from politics is probably one of the most negligent, downright dangerous things you can ever possibly do, because you are conceding ground to the other side. You are giving the left a free pass and allowing them free rein. I think that's extremely dangerous. No Christian can afford to take themselves out of the whole political realm. Every Christian needs to be involved with politics at some level, and this is why I feel so strongly about this, because I've noticed that the left, there's no way that the left will be getting away with what they're getting away with right now if it wasn't for the fact that so many Christians and conservatives have taken themselves out of the race. They've taken themselves out of the fight. You know, many of them have been taught that politics is a dirty word, so they won't have anything to do with it, which I think is an absolute tragedy. Absolute tragedy. The left, on the other hand, the left eat, sleep, and breathe politics. There is never a day that goes by when they're not where they're not campaigning, where they're not rubbing the sore red, where they're not getting involved in community organizing. They are passionate, determined, disciplined in every way possible in which they are trying to break down the capitalist system. This is why Christians cannot afford to lay down, to lay over and let all this happen. We need to take a stand in any way we possibly can, starting with prayer. Prayer is the most important thing, where we get on our knees and we basically repent, and where we surrender unto God and allow Him to move through us. Then once we get off our knees, that's when we get to work and we do what we can to ensure, you know, to push back against the forces of darkness. So, yeah, there are different camps, Vincent. Absolutely. We need to be very careful. We need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. As innocent as doves and wise as serpents, we've got to be have wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom in this particular time because, you know, the hour is late. The hour is late. The sun is going down, and Jesus said, work while you have daylight because night is coming when no man can work.
Amen. And, you know, we've also been told that Jerusalem, Israel, is the centerpiece of time. There's all kinds of Bible prophecy that has to happen. We look there for a timepiece, really, as through the biblical lens. And, Daniel, consider what we've talked about today. Number one, the U.S. Embassy in the next few days is going to be moved to Jerusalem. Number two, the 70th anniversary of Israel being a nation is a few days away. Number three,
yeah,
we've just ended the Iran deal. Number four,
yeah,
the birthday of Yahweh giving the Torah to the Israelis on Mount Sinai and the celebration of the day of Pentecost for the church that happened in Jerusalem is days away. Israel is now enjoying what is called a double jubilee. They've been in the season of the double jubilee year for Israel. Now, when you put all of these things together that are happening right now, and probably a lot more that we're not aware of, this is a major provocation against the Middle East beast, if you will. And what the big question is, and I love this about Donald Trump because he's pushing the envelope, was it all hype, this whole Middle East thing and Iraq and Syria and Hezbollah and Hamas? Was it all just a big theater that was being manipulated and controlled by the higher powers and being moved like pawns on a chessboard, you know, for their own purposes? This is where Mystery Babylon rides the beast. She uses it for her own, to advance her own cause, so to speak. And I get the sense that we're all going to find out real soon. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And let me just add a few more dates. Like, first of all, 50 years, it's actually 50 years of a united Jerusalem, 50 years of a united Jerusalem. And by the way, we need to look this in terms of a Jewish year, not the year from a Gregorian calendar. But when you look at it from a Jewish year, it's been 50 years of a united Jerusalem. It's been 70 years since the UN planned for a Jewish state, 70 years since Israel's independence. It's been 100 years since the Balfour Declaration, 100 years since General Allenby liberated Jerusalem from Ottoman rule, and it's been 120 years since the first Zionist Congress in Basel was convened by Theodor Herzl, and how's this, 150 years since Sir Charles Warren discovered the ancient city of David. So it's just fascinating when you think of all these numbers falling into line. And that's why I believe that, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, every generation, when the Word of God talks about this generation, I mean, all these numbers from 120, that some people have called a generation, 100 was a generation, 70 was a generation, 50, mm-hmm, a jubilee, 40, a generation. But it's all within the context of our generation witnessing the magnificent return of Israel as a nation after 1900 and some odd years. I mean, everybody says it, we say it over and over, but the magnificence of that reality should be so mind-boggling to the world, and that Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. My goodness.
It's incredible, isn't it? And that's why I believe that we really need to pray for Israel leading up to the 14th of May. That is going to be extremely significant. Do you know what? If I was Israel's enemy, and if I was going to attack them all out attack, I would attack them on that day, because it's in the aftermath of that where you have al Nakba, the Nakba, which is when the Palestinians lament and mourn that they didn't get to wipe out Israel in 1948. So I think Israel's enemies, in particularly Iran, could actually use that date as their date on which they would launch an attack. Now, I'm not the only one saying that. The former head of IDF intelligence said the same thing. He believes that this will be Israel's most dangerous May since 1967. So, yeah, interesting. There's a lot of things going on. And again, we need to be in prayer for Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And Daniel, again, as we began the broadcast today, it's so easy to take a side and to get our ire up about many things. But I'm reading out of the Epistle of Jude where Jude is encouraging Christians, keep yourselves in the love of God. And, you know, Jesus said the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And, you know, we are called to love. And that is spiritual, what would you call it? A spiritual impression upon the true believer. And it is something to be guarded. The love of God in our hearts must be guarded, because obviously if the love of many is going to wax cold, that means that love could be stolen. And so the call to every man and woman on this earth right now that proclaims faith in Jesus Christ, in the midst of all these biblical realities being fulfilled, we must continue to examine ourselves to make sure we're in the faith and that we do possess the love of God for our enemies, those that persecute us, those that hate us. I mean, that is a valid and most important eternal necessity for God's people around the world, because many are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? And their business and their ministry is going to make them think that they're going to be accepted into heaven, but I never knew you. I never knew your love. Your love did not endure to the end. Your love did not maintain through the crises and the personal issues in your own personal life. And regardless of we're in the end times and it's Iran and Israel and the United States, or it was 300 years ago, and you were just some person living on the frontier. Yeah, there were still Indian forces or hostile forces. Everybody in this world has had to maintain their Christian virtue and values unto the very end of their life without giving up or turning sour or getting lukewarm. Everybody is called to a passion to serve the Lord. And my hope and desire is that the great baptism, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this hour, Jesus said, I'm going to thoroughly purge my floor. My fan is in my hand, John said about Jesus. And he said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And my prayer is that the fire we're going to be baptized with is the passion, that we're not going to be lukewarm or cold. We're going to be so hot because a fresh baptism of passion for the things of God in our moment of time are going to become the center point of our lives. And so this is my hope, that God's people will have fiery passion restored to them for Jesus and the things of the kingdom, and that our love will not wax cold. We will guard it with all of our heart, and we will keep ourselves in it in spite of all the conflict and strife and contention that is swirling and genuinely going to rise like the lava that's pouring out of that volcano. It's going to burst all over the world, and we've got to be ready for that.
Amen. Amen. We're going to be really, really tested in these last days. There's no doubt about that. And one of the areas that will be tested, it will be definitely our love. Jesus said that the love of most will grow cold. That is an incredible thing to say, to happen. And why did he say that? Well, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Because of the increase of wickedness, as wickedness increases, it will be much more difficult to love people in the same capacity, you know. And I think there are a number of different reasons why. I think one of the reasons is because when sin abounds, there is, you know, you got to think about where we live in our Western culture, because we are saturated with entertainment. Saturated with entertainment, saturated with distractions. And as a result of that, it's very, very easy to get caught up in that and lose our passion for God. So that's definitely one way. But the other way in which we can lose our love is as a result, as people become more and more wicked, they become more and more hateful and more hostile toward Christians. And when people become more hostile and begin to even attack Christians, it can be very difficult to love back. Very difficult to love back because it's, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of Christians think that forgiving is easy until it actually happens to them. You know, they think forgiving someone will be a piece of cake, but the moment something terrible happens to them and they're in a position where they have to forgive someone, it's another thing altogether. But I think God's going to test us. He's going to test church in those two areas where, you know, the increase of wickedness, where there it's become so easy to become blasé and to be swept away with the things of the world and the pleasures and the entertainment saturated culture. But then there's the hostility that Christians will be facing with persecution and loving their enemy as a result of that intense persecution. So I pray that in these last days that our hearts will be prepared. Whatever come what may our hearts be prepared for what is in store. And may we stand before Jesus on that day. You know, as Jesus himself said, that he who stands firm to the end will be saved.
Amen and amen. And I go back to some things that you have mentioned on this broadcast, which I'm going to forego right now. I just want you to know, Daniel Seckham, that your brother Michael Smith and sister Carmen Hoback were married on Sunday with the most beautiful wedding. And the videos
wow.
will be out. Put those up there. And I know you know them both and you love them both and they care about you as well. So what a wedding experience. It was just the most beautiful presence of God. It was genuinely in that building last Sunday. And so that is one of the flowers, a Mayflower. And that's what we want to declare over all of our listeners out there today, that your Mayflower is going to bloom. And that the season that you have been in, whatever it has been, as you have gone through, endured through it, bared up under the trial, your Mayflower is coming. And that life can be found in Jesus Christ. In him is a whole plethora of the kingdom and all the activities of the kingdom of God. You have access into it. And therein, regardless of what persecution may come, there is a transformation of the heart, a renewing of the mind, a being conformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on a cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. May God's heart be given to us. May the Holy Spirit empower us to love like we've never loved before, to live like we've never lived before. Daniel, I've got a special song just for you as we transition now out of The Watchman and into Patricia Joy Xavier is up next with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We've got to say goodbye, but ladies and gentlemen, here's a little song that may be very helpful for you in guarding your heart. Daniel, this is special for you. I know you love this songwriter.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit in me.
Hello, everyone. What an incredible program. Oh, I tell you, when Pastor Vincent and Daniel get together, it is amazing what God does. And you know, he's the one that did it. He put them together in a supernatural way, as one that is part of our Omega Radio Network had gathered together to find the right people all over the world and to converse about these things that are going on right now. Yes, it is so interesting to listen and hear about the Mahdi that is being now thrusted up to bring forth his evil. And it is evil, folks. I am sorry to tell you, but it is. And the false Christ that is ready to sit in the holy place in Jerusalem is gathering together the will of God for the last days we're in. And it's been prophesied in the book of Daniel to be exactly this way and in the book of Revelation. And it is being absolutely fulfilled in that manner. Isn't God incredible? And isn't the Bible incredible? From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the prophetic words that have been spoken thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago are now being fulfilled. And it is such a wonder, it is such a sign and a wonder that God has been involved in these things ever since the fall of Adam, to bring us back to a kingdom that is clean and perfect and righteous on this earth. But Satan has had his way, hasn't he? And then the question is, how are we to be under these circumstances? And they are incredible circumstances. How are we to be? It is my belief, my absolute belief, that we need to be a people that are not deceived, with a clean heart. And if you don't have a clean heart, ask the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit. Not a dark spirit and a false spirit, an angel of light, but one that is true and real and absolutely right. It is time that our heart be so clean so that the Holy Spirit in us will bring discernment so acute that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And it is possible to have discernment unflawed. And this is where we're going. But some work needs to be done in the multitudes of Christians and those who have heard the word of God and have not yet made a decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, and Lord. And even the most devoted follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will inevitably face challenges along the path, their path. Every child of the Most High God will at one point or another be wounded, rejected, abused, and it's through these wounds that we are most vulnerable. That's why we must be totally and completely delivered. Only with your own assistance can strongholds be torn down. And what is that assistance? That assistance is believing that there are demons, that you have been vexed by demons and not mental, psychological breakdowns in the mind, which it would cause in a more socialized manner. But the assurance that these strongholds can be torn down, allowing us to proceed with casting the demons out. And only through your own willingness to forgive can we remove legal rights, which allow the demons to remain in us
They have those legal rights through sin and unforgiveness. And we need to forgive others before God can forgive us. That's the word of God. And we need to be able to confess our sins before we are prepared to be set free from spiritual bondage. Because if we don't, these demons have legal rights into our life. Now, the last time I was on the air yesterday, we talked about the design of God for the militant demonic presence. And we had mentioned that these unclean spirits, these entities, very dangerous. Yet millions of Christians, out of ignorance, are doing just that very, this very thing. They are sinning and they're allowing these demonic presence to be within their life. These devils must be cast out. And how? How must they be cast out? They must be cast out with the wisdom of the power of the living God. If you desire this ministry to help others, it is available to you. This is why I got online, that you may begin to understand the works of the evil one. So devils come in ranks much like our military forces in the natural world. They are well organized and thousands of times better than man's church today. And they know exactly what they are doing and are extremely efficient in their diabolical work. What we do here on earth, you and I, is an imitation of what already exists in the heavenlies, both for good and both for evil. You see, heaven is opening up wider and wider. Portals are coming down from the heavenly realm that the truth may be revealed sufficiently and the power of the Holy Spirit may move as never before, the former and the latter coming together. In other words, the power of that rain, that light, that truth, it is the reigning of the Holy Spirit upon us, the true Christian, along with what happened 2,000 years ago in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was ignited upon the true Christians of 120. That happening, that reign of the Holy Spirit came upon them and they turned this world upside down for Christ. And that's why we have a Bible. That's why we are able to understand and know the ways of God. And that's why Christians began to take their position upon this earth. It was prophesied in the Old Testament to come into the new, and it did. But now we have an open heaven experience of a latter rain combined with the former rain of what happened in the upper room when Jesus Christ was on this earth. And the latter and former rain are beginning to move out from the heavenly realm and being poured on those who are true Christians to rise up as a mighty army of God, never, ever to be distracted and never, ever to be put into a position of being destroyed again. Do you get it? It is our time now. Church, ecclesia of God, body of Christ, it is our time now. And it's a good and wonderful, great work setting captives free. Free from sickness and disease of this world that has been since the fall, never in the Garden of Eden, but an imperfect world will present that very thing. It will manifest sickness and disease, being of the devil and not of God. He never intended for that in this earth. This was supposed to be a beautiful, gorgeous earth filled with his kingdom of life and truth and happiness and wellness. wellness that would never end. Now we're searching for wellness in every way we can figure, and we are gaining some of it. But the wellness that is coming is eternal. Hallelujah. Wellness in this earth, power against every evil. And how does that come? It comes through the perfect truth. The former and latter reign of the heavens are being opened and coming upon us in perfect truth, perfect power, perfect deliverance. But there is a war going on. I believe man receives his instructions from the holy angels of God. What we do here on earth is an imitation of what already existed in the heavenlies. And as I said earlier, both for good and evil. The good is for us. The evil is for Satan to have his way until the destruction of his kingdom comes. It is kingdom against kingdom. The kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light and truth and good. Battling for this earth. Why? Because we gave it over. We gave it over to Satan and his demons through the bloodline of Adam and Eve, who said yes to Satan. I will partake of you through the knowledge of good and evil. And that is a whole teaching in itself, credible teaching of wisdom and knowledge and understanding how things have happened. And one of these days, I'm going to write a book called The Longest War. And it's been that since the fall, 6,000 years into the seventh. But seven is a perfect number, and we have arrived. The eighth millennium will be that of new beginnings. It'll be that of an incredible move that has not been on this earth ever. Even greater than the Garden of Eden that was perfect. We are looking forward to things that we have never even considered happening, though we had the word of God to tell us. So man receives his instructions from the holy angels of God, from the unholy angels of Satan, through what we term the subconscious. And what is that subconscious where we have instructions from either the holy angels of God or the unholy angels of Satan? What is that subconscious that gathers that information? It is your soul. It is your soul realm. Remember the song, I am a soul man. Now, some of you may not, and some of you may, but it was very popular. He was saying he was soulish, not spiritual, soulish. There's a difference because you can have a false spirit through an angel of light, which would be yours, your spirit, your own spirit that you have been given in birth, your own spirit, but your spirit may not have been renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. And if it is your spirit and not a renewed spirit, you are only a soul man. All your actions, all your thoughts, all your wisdom, all your knowledge is from the soulish realm, which is called the subconscious in modern day learning. The unholy spirits, the fallen angels, they stay in ranks as they did when they were angels of God before the rebellion and fall of Lucifer, after which they were cast out of heaven. They were cast out because they rebelled, because of the pride in Lucifer's heart, which became Satan after the fall. He wanted to be God, their creator. He wanted to take the residence and position of God Almighty when he didn't create anything. He was created. but because of the lie within him, within his heart, because of the pride causing that to be, he was tossed out by the archangels of God. And the unholy angels exist today in the dominion of the heavenlies of the earth's realm. Not in the heavenlies of the seventh heaven, but the second heaven. You have the heaven that you could look at. When you look up, you see the stars, the cosmos. And within that is a second heaven. And there lies the unholy realm of the dominion of demonic presence. And these spiritual beings, just like their leader, are very cunning. And Satan, of course, is their head. And ranking beneath him are the ruling devil spirits. Just like in a regular army that we have copied in our imaginations as to what was in the heavenly realm. And it stayed in that manner because the angels of God that were thrown out of heaven by the true angels that kept their right position, the angels of that did not, they remembered the ranks and how God designed it. This fact needs to be remembered as we come forth and begin to cast out devils. That's why I say time and time again, it is a real, true warfare. It is actually more true than the war on this earth. The wars that are trying and have been in the past manifested on this earth. This is more true than any other military that has ever existed, the one that was in the heavens. So you need to discern who the ruling spirits are in deliverance. And this is quite important to know. This is why I am ministering deliverance online, so that those who have not heard this before could begin to hear and begin to rise up as part of the army of God. So you need to discern the ruling spirits and who they are. They are the ones that have taken control and brought lesser serving devils along with them. These ruling devils and their followers are given satanic authority over nations, cities, organizations, churches, and families, and the lesser devils are given authority over individuals. Now, can you see that formation in your mind? That's why some nations are more evil than others. It depends on how much authority they have been granted, the demons have been granted, how much authority these ruling spirits have been granted through the evil works of the nations that they're ruling over, including our own. How are they granted these things? How are they given such authority? Well, let's look at it. Let's just look at our own country. We have legislated evil. We have legislated abortion, the killing of innocent blood, which God hates and says so in the Old Testament. We have legislated homosexuality, which God so disliked and hated himself, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. They legislated that unrighteousness. They have legislated things against this nation that are so unholy and so unrighteous that it is a wonder that we haven't been destroyed already, because God's hand is beginning to be removed, and then the protection against these evil forces are going to be lessened because his hand and his protection is being removed. We have given power by the murders that have been taking place, innocent people murdered by mind control and other means in this country. This is feeding Satan and the ruling spirits over this nation to get more and more powerful. That's how it works. The church is weakened by a lack of knowledge, and few within the United States really understand the truth of God's word and minister it in power and in truth. They have mixture. The very thing that Adam and Eve received when they were in the garden, when they received Satan's lies in telling them, don't you know that you could be as great as God himself? Don't you know that you could live forever as God? Don't you know that this is your right? And they received the lie. Because they're not God. They were created. God's the creator. They didn't create anything. They became. And they bought the lie. And good and evil began to grow within their thoughts and minds as a mental ascent. And they had to be tossed out of the garden because the garden was so perfect and so right and so pure and so righteous. By the power of God, they would have never have died. They would have gone on forever in their great deception. Deception has been in the earth ever since then. The great deception. Satan sold them a bill of goods and they bought it. The idea that they can be as God. When you think of the cosmos and all the incredible things that have been established, and the way God has so balanced every planet, including our earth, to work and to have its way, the great and powerful intellect behind it all, they didn't have that. They didn't create. Only God Almighty things. Nobody created a blade of grass. He did. And yet they bought the lie that they are God, as God. Until this day, we all think we are, until we find the truth, and the truth sets us free. So going back to the incredible, incredible ability of the enemy's work because of being fed more and more darkness and evil through us, now they go about their areas of assignment, seeking opportunity to destroy. They want to destroy anything right, anything good, anything holy, and anything true. If they can find nothing in you, no sin, they are powerless. And I mean powerless to enter in and destroy. But if they find sin, this is their open door, whether you're a Christian or not. And they will attack with all boldness and destructiveness because you have given them the legal right through sin. I have to repeat this. Only through sin do these spirits, controlled by Satan, have power. So I hope you're beginning to see the light. I hope you're beginning to see the truth of God's wisdom to bring the Holy Spirit to mankind. Until tomorrow, I pray with all my heart that God blesses you. And go to Amazon, get my book. Let's do this together. Let's work together. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. God bless you all in all, and have a wonderful day.